The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Peter and Steve. You are lads. Good pizza chat on the WhatsApp group today.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello, everyone. Stephen, what have they taught you about in radio about saying hello to people?
Don't do it.
No.
Do it.
Speak to one person.
Speak to one person, Steve, yeah?
I haven't worked in radio for ages. I've forgotten all of that. I used to teach it, but you know.
Do you remember a presenter said, hello, hello you? I remember someone took me in the office and said, listen to Warren here, see? And he very cheesy, hello you. So that's dreadful.
And also, it's quite creepy. Yeah.
This is Steve. Hi. I'm like, hello. Yeah. I'm Steve. Not this is.
You listen to Chris, who's Capital, like you say, listen, Chris Brooks is here. I said, where is he? is it you? Yeah, is that you?
Yeah.
Hello, yeah. You. If you're listening to this podcast, hello. How are you doing? I think DJs who say that have mistaken the medium because I never speak back to the radio because I understand the way it works, you know? People said, how are you feeling today? Do you ever say, I'm okay, thanks? I never say that, you know? My mother, actually, you know, into early stage dementia, when the weatherman come on and say, you know, I hope you're feeling well today. Yeah. Oh, hello, hello. Said back to her. But that was, I think that was, in fact, it was pre-dementia. I think that was a time when TVs were quite new, you know?
I talk to the TV sometimes.
Yeah, but you're a single man living on your own cooking pizza with way too much sweet corn. That did make me laugh, Pete, that day when someone expressed a bit of interest in what you're doing there. And I did like Steve's put his pizza up there, homemade pizza. And then Steve went into a bit of detail about his pizza there.
Hang on a minute, you asked how you made it.
Yeah, I did. No, I was interested, but... No, I did like it. Well, let me scroll down. Yes, and yeah. So, well, Steve, use that because I'm making one tonight. But you can buy bases, you know, from Aldi, and I made one for Monty last night, and quite nice. The bread maybe was a bit thick, so Steve said the bread's too thick, you know. But it was tasty when it's soft though, and it's fresh. It's nice, isn't it? You know, and. I said, bread making. No, Steve said, no. I just put it in a little bowl, do it by hand. I batch make little balls and freeze them. And then Pete said, good to know. Yeah. But then he went into long text from how to make it from the starter upwards. Yeah.
Well, you see, as I sent in the ingredients and how to make it, it's for four pizza bases. Now, living on my own, I don't tend to eat four pizzas at once. So
I don't know, Steve. We've seen a meal for three people.
Mm. Yeah. All right, two pizzas, but then I've got another two balls left, so they go in the freezer.
Yeah, I like the instructions there. Steve sent a text that's come from his sister, it's come from somebody else, And at one point it says, put 200 mils of 100 fill of water, 4 grams of itself, and keep folding the dough into itself until it becomes smooth. This can be done in one go or a few times over an evening. Wow! It's people making an evening of that, folding dough. I mean, some people are really bored, aren't they? If I said to Megan, what do you fancy doing tonight? Like, we can do anything you want to, you know. Do you fancy folding some dough for an evening? Oh, hey. We can make a real evening of that.
She'd hate that because it'd make mess.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Do you know why I'm talking about pizza, boys?
No.
Because the markets are bloody awful, aren't they?
Ah, right, yeah.
Crap stock market again.
How does that link to pizzas?
Well, I just take my mind off it. It's a good thing. And let me say one thing here. If you find yourself staring at your portfolio or your share prices, you know, every minute because they're sinking, don't do it to yourself. Do not do it to yourself. I spend a lot of time at the computer because, of course, I talk to people, you know, listed companies. So I can't help but look at my portfolio or my share price a lot. And it affects me negatively, you know, emotionally.
You know what? Whenever Pete says, to you on our WhatsApp group, Justin, have you sold this? It always makes me feel depressed because I know our stocks have just massively plummeted.
Yeah, yeah. But listen, and the thing is, today was a lovely day, and I finished doing some podcasts, recording some podcasts. I took Lola out, little dog, little cockapoo, and with a tennis ball. Lovely weather, the sun was out, so all the colours are sort of heightened, aren't they? The greens, you know, the little flowers, just kicking the ball for it, right? And then running for it. Just seeing the pleasure of that. I thought, do you know what? Get a bit of perspective, everyone. Sheer prices on a screen are not life. Get out there, do anything that gives you pleasure rather than being sat at a screen looking at sheer prices going down that's depressing you. Because there's no point. Life is bigger than that. Life is worth more than that. Have a bit of zen. Listen, we are in a bear market. The markets are not good. They're not going to be good for a while. Take yourself away from that negative, you know, that negative source, which is your portfolio and your share prices. Do something constructive. Doesn't matter what you're doing, but gardening, go for a walk, anything. Listen to a podcast, read a book, anything you get pleasure from, rather than negativity from. It's quite simple, really, isn't it? As humans, we are almost programmed. That's what the mainstream media. I hate saying mainstream media. Any media or any press know that fear works, you know, and sensationalism works. So we are sort of attracted to that because it's flight or fear, isn't it? Fear or flight, or fight or flight. That's what it is. So you are attracted to fear. So and you know, negativity. Don't.
Yeah.
Take yourself towards a positive force, like nature, walking, going for a bike ride, anything, isn't it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm. I don't know what the mix of our listener is, but I mean, I don't know how many are actually, you know, constantly watching their portfolios or whatever. But yeah, this week I've been thankful that I've just got a very busy job. I'm fully absorbed in that. I'm not even looking at that. So I think, you know, I'm thankful for that. And I wouldn't like to be like you are. Yeah, your nature of your job is that you are looking at it all the time. So yeah, you do need to have distraction or coping mechanisms to cope with it because it's nuts. And yeah, I suppose I've kind of resigned myself to the fact that I think we are going to be in this zone for quite a long time, really, aren't we? And there's nothing you can do, really, is
there?
Well,
I don't know if it's going to be that long, but anyway, we don't know that. I'll explain why.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, just swap that negative force you are obsessed with the positive force that gives you some pleasure and positivity. So anything at all. I mean, depends what your fancy is. You know, it could be Steve making dough balls, you know, whatever it is. Anything, you know, Pete, you go for a bike ride. Me, take the dog for a walk. I also love reading. And I, at the end of the day, every day, doesn't matter if I get really drunk, I try to read a chapter of my book, you know, because I love it. And it takes your mind off. And it makes you drift. I almost fall asleep sometimes reading a book.
Mm.
And then the last thing.
And the advantage if you are. Yeah. The advantage if you are drunk is that you can reread that chapter because you won't remember it.
I often do that.
Yeah,
I don't remember what was happening there. Is this the same book I went to sleep with?
Right, exactly.
I have to go back a couple of chapters. Oh, that's where I am.
I finished this book last night, but I was drunk, so now I have to read the whole thing
but
again.
The soundtrack or the movie track of your mind when you go to sleep then is that story, and it's fantasy, you know? So that's why I like to read sort of thrillers and stuff. In fact, I've gone through the entire John Grisham back catalogue, apart from the ones that didn't get good ratings. I've done about 30 John Grisham books in the last year. So, so when you look at it, though, think about it in a logical sense. I'm trying to help people who've had a stressful week looking at their portfolios.
Mm.
I'm thinking, what's the worst worry you can have? Because we keep saying, is the bottom coming? Is the bottom? Don't worry about that too much. Don't worry about that, right? I mean, you know, the people saying that the Bank of England came out, recession. Is the UK economy going into recession? Now, there's these big words people are scared of. Recession, stagflation, crash, all that, you know? And these are just words that define, like, for example, is the UK going into recession? Yes, it probably is. Yeah. So what? We've had so many recessions over the last 50, 60 years. And where's the stock market now? Higher than it was previous recession. You make more money out of the back of a recession than ever. It basically needs it to clean out the crap, to take the froth off the market, and then new inflows come in. But as you know, we're probably in a recession right now. we don't really know. It's two quarters of negative. We are, you know, we're definitely slowing down. So we may be in a recession right now. You don't know it. Let me ask you a question, boys. Can you remember walking down the street one time when someone said, we're in a recession, and it really affected your life?
No.
Yes.
I go with Steve's answer. Exactly, Steve.
Oh.
No. It doesn't. Recessions, basically, it's a mathematical definition. That's all it is. That has no bearing on real day-to-day operations of the businesses you hold, pretty much. They don't. But people get fear. But the good thing about recession is this. After a recession, people know it's one of the best rallies ever. So the money starts to pile in. So when you almost have that, you know, definition of recession, people start to pile in before the recession. So if we are in a recession, the markets rally way ahead. And so you come out of that very strongly. So don't worry about it, you know. And I keep saying over and over again, if you owned a share of a non-listed business and it doesn't have a quoted share price that can go up and down on a daily basis, what would you focus on? You'd focus on the business, you know, and that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. If you are an investor, not a dirty old scummy trader who chucks in a couple
of things. But the thing with recession is just the impact it has on sentiment. And like,
that's
I
all
don't
it is.
Know what you're. Yeah, but I don't know what you're basing the thing of, oh, it might not be that long. I don't know. I sort of think all the indicators are it's going to go well into 2023 and it's going to be...
We rally in recessions. We rally the market. Listen, we have to make a definition between real-life economy and the stock market.
Mm.
They're not in sync, okay? So when we have two quarters of contracted growth, GDP, that's definition of recession. If you look at the charts, we're rallying then. So the market is already pricing this in. Already, the microcaps are already pricing this in. We've dropped, even the American stock markets, they're dropped by 25%.
Mm.
It's being priced in right now. They know a recession is coming. It's happening. When you get the actual, you know, confirmation of the recession, the markets are rallying. But do you know why? Because one of the best times to make money is out of the back end of recession. And, oh, you know, the market is based on fear and greed. And do you know what? People don't want to miss out on that rally. So don't worry. As soon as you have confirmation, the markets will start rallying. I think we're close to a recession now. We are probably in one, you know, because people cut back. When inflation's high, the costs are high, people are cutting back. So at the end of the day, remove that sort of mathematical definition of recession. It doesn't matter. How is the business that you own? If you're an investor, think about a non-listed private business, like Steve, for example, who's got his own business there. Is he selling all his inventory, all his stock, all his cameras because there's fear of a recession?
Yeah, he is.
What I'm saying is sometimes, right?
Steve, he's even there. Steve's not saying anything.
Oh, well, you're just answering for me, so...
Sorry. I'll shut up.
The market will do what it has to do, right? We have to be a little bit zen about this, right? Don't panic. Observe.
Steve sold his microphone. Sorry.
Yeah, he just sold that, yes. Already. Just on this podcast, he's panicked and sold his microphone.
Don't need that.
But you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to step back, just have a bit of zen about it, and think, let the market play out. It's fine. It will rally. If you're holding businesses, and this is why it's good to hold small or micro-cap businesses, because they can do several 100% from, you know, we had a tiny bear market rally where even XP Factory went up for 35% in a few days, you know, and we're in a bear market. Now, when a bull market starts, and if you look at the average stat, bear markets last for 18 months, bull markets last about 5 years. They can do several 100%. That's why it's good to hold small micro-cap stocks. I'm talking about small caps. That's why it's good to hold small caps. They'll do that. Don't worry.
Yep.
Just chill out. Chill out a bit, guys. Chill out.
I guess going back to the thing of like, it's good advice to people listening to this that are having a stressful week because they're looking at their portfolio. Everyone's situation is different. Other people, you know, different people have their money invested for different reasons. And ultimately, it does come down to exposure, doesn't it? Your own personal exposure, your own wealth. Because people will get stressed if they've got everything in the market.
If you're overexposed, yes. I mean, I always advise, you know, you find people... If someone's really bullish on, for example, social media, Twitter, for example, on a stock, and they're pumping out these figures or whatever, and you question them sometimes, they get really nasty, aggressive, defensive about this stuff because, and you can tell they're overexposed. And generally, you think, well, no, you know, you should welcome a bit of criticism sometimes. And sometimes diversification, a little bit of diversification can help you in that respect, you know, because if you've got one wrong, you're just five, six, seven stocks, whatever. If you've got one wrong, it's fine. You know, the others can go on to do well. It's fine, you know?
Yeah, but the thing is, people can be like, overexposed to the market as a whole, like, i.e., you know, they've got everything in there and they've got no other savings or whatever, and they're starting to panic because they go, oh my god, I've got everything in and it's gone right, I've lost 30% of it or whatever.
Especially if you're starting to think, because I've got friends who've got money invested and they're like thinking about getting a house in the next year or so, and they're now like, well, should I take my money out now before, because you just don't know if it'll go down lower when the point comes where they, you know, they'll need the money.
And also, do you know what's been, it's been pretty much proven that the best indicator of the stock market is the contrarian bull bear, you know, a fear greed index. When the index is at fear, and we are on fear right now, it's one of the best times to invest. It's really the hardest. And do you know what? I just want to point out, if you're getting emotional about your portfolio, okay, and the share price is going down, that emotion is the very thing that will make you a worse investor, overreacting and be overly emotional. The less emotional you can get, the better investor you will become. And if you look at people like Charlie Munger, who's Warren Buffett's, you know, partner, an amazing guy, very clever guy, says, if you can't stomach a 50% drawdown in one of your stocks, and he's talking about big stocks here because they invest in big stocks, so you probably haven't got the emotion to deal with the stock market. And it is absolutely linked, because what happens is, if you are emotional, the macro doom and gloom that's all around you will make you do the very opposite of what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to buy low, sell high, or even hold. You know, you're not supposed to sell low. That's the very opposite of what you... And I've seen many people now selling out of stocks. You're too late. The small cap market has been, you know, going down for 12 months. If you're selling out now, you are pretty much selling out close to the bottom. You know, you are doing the very opposite of what you should be doing, because just down to pure emotion. And we go back to this thing of dead people are very good investors because they have no emotion, you know. And this is very normal. This sell-off we've just had, it's very normal. The markets are in a, it's why it's been such a horrible market. But you know what, you know, look back at it historically, you know, any bear market is followed by a bull market. The best time to hold in stocks is towards the bottom, because you tend to get a massive rally, and then, you know, you have a little consolidation, then a rally again, and that lasts for like 5 years. But if you start selling now, you'll jump back in. And I did say on a tour, I said, the people now selling at the bottom, right here, are the very people who are buying at the top, because it's based on emotion and because everyone's bullish at the top. So everyone jumps in at the top. New investors jump in at the top, you know? And then the stock market starts to sell off. They start selling then when it gets really bearish like it is now. They start selling at the bottom. And so it's just conquering that emotional roller. That's why investing's not easy. You know, I mean, if you can just detach yourself from the emotions of it, you'll become an amazing investor. Because most people can't do it. Do you know why? Because we are emotional beings. It's very natural to get emotional about your money, you know, your portfolio going down. It's natural. What's unnatural is not to be emotional, you know?
Should we just... repeat this podcast every week for the next 6 months?
Yeah. I know this is very odd, and it generally happens when... I mean, if you look at the... we're in a bear market. The big tech stocks are rolling over now in the US and stuff. What was that noise? Steve, did you break wind there?
Oh, Steve.
It's my leather sofa.
Oh, Steve. Oh, Steve.
Sofa. Are you naked?
slowly building a picture up of Steve. He just makes lots of...
Sweet corn.
Pre-made pizzas.
Loads of sweet corn.
Yeah, that was, when you displayed that pizza, Steve, were you quite proud of that image there? Because that looked like a mess, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I thought it looked quite tasty.
No.
I liked it. It looked quite nice.
No way. I remember years and years ago, when I started, you know, when you start cooking as a young kid, and you are literally in your teens, and I literally bought, I think it was like, those really cheap pizzas from...
nothing like one of those cheap pizzas.
Let me finish. When you buy like five pizzas in a pack and they're like £3, in fact, inflation now, they bring more than that. But you used to buy pizza that. But literally, I used to add stuff to it and you realise it doesn't help the pizza. It makes a soggy bottom and all that stuff. And you realise, you know what? It's like Chinese or Italian. If you can use simple, less ingredients, but make them very tasty, if you can crack a margarita, or if you can just have the best sweet and sour sauce, you know, the basics there of any restaurant. If you get a margarita that's amazing, then you make any pizza, but you don't need to overlayer it. Steve had like a tin and a half of sweet corn on there.
It was
like,
yeah, it was too much sweet corn.
It looked like you dropped it on the floor, Steve, and a can of it on stuff. It looked like you dropped a lot of food on it accidentally, and oh, I'm just chucking it anyway.
I admit I put maybe a little bit too much sweet corn, but I like sweet corn.
Yeah.
You know, I'm right. When I was eating the pizza, a lot of that sweet corn fell off, but then I just had a plate of sweet corn to finish off with.
Steve, are you using a Dalek voice changer? What's going on?
He sold all his stuff.
Hang on, let me sit back up. I was kind of laying down.
Steve's actually sunk into his sofa. He's actually in better? Between the cushions and...
Does that sound better now?
Well...
it's all relative.
All right.
I don't know.
Right. Good. Yeah. Anything else?
No, that's it. It's all done now. Yeah.
Cover the main stuff, pizza and the markets.
Mm-hmm. But as an example, right? Let's say you are 50% down on a stock you hold. That's quite, you know, if you're a new investor and you're still 50% down, you know, you just start investing, you're 50% down, you have half your money you think you've lost. You haven't lost any money. Think about that.
Gfinity, isn't it?
Yeah, well, more than that, but you haven't lost any money. You haven't lost any money. And Steve, the thing you're saying about the guys there, you know, they want to sell to buy a house. You're saying, oh, so buy a house now. That's one of the things you have to ask everyone, first of all. I learned this, is like, what's your time horizon? When do you need the money? Because if you need the money next week, then you better take a haircut on your investment and sell at a loss. Now, if you need the money in like 2 years, then why are you selling now? You know, this is the worst time to sell. It's like, you know, if the house prices, I've noticed more activity actually on houses are rolling over now. I've seen the share price of Rightmove and on the market. In fact, Rightmove took a big hammer in here because interest rates are going up, of course. And I've noticed now people are realizing it's almost, there's been very little stock. I'm registered on Zoopla, on the market, and Rightmove. Very little stock available. All of a sudden, in the last couple of weeks, you've seen more houses come online. Why? People are starting to realize it's close to the top of the market in the houses. So it's like saying this is the best time to sell now for houses, right? And then, but you will still get people selling in like 2 years' time when it's a hard, or a year's time when it's hard to sell. And you say, why are you selling now? Wait for the boom to get. It's, housing market is not as volatile, you know, as the stock market. But why would you sell, you know, in a downturn when you just wait a year or two and sell an upturn and get a better price? Same with the businesses you own. Don't sell.
So you're better off selling your property now because it's at the top of the market and putting it all in the stock market and just renting a place.
That's what I said to Megan, right? So we need to buy a house in catchment for Monty. And and she started panicking. And she said, listen, I've got some money in stocks and it's going down every day. I said, I'm losing money every day. I said, you haven't lost any money. So what do you mean? It's going down. You haven't lost any money, have you? That's what I mean. You haven't lost any money. If you sell, you lose money. But you own a share of a business. If the business is improving, so in the stock market, giving you these prices, who said the stock market is like a manic depressive? It'll offer you random prices from year to year. Yep. Don't take the low price it offers you because the stock market's mental. You know, wait until the stock market's nuts and it's bullish and it gives you the top price. And as simple as that. So don't sell now. I think what's going to happen is this. The stock market's rolled over now. It's rolling over. The housing market will just be a little bit behind, just six months behind it. So if you want to buy a house, wait. The stock market will rally. Everyone will be bullish again. New investors will come in, pile more money. And that's the way it works. You know, new investors start piling more money. They start running. Stock market's on a tear. Everyone starts piling money in, you know. And that's after the first couple of 100% from the bottom, you know. So those people are like jumping in. Normally the people who sold at the bottom. And then that'll power the stock market even higher. And it'll go higher again because, you know, buying begets buying and selling begets selling. So it's almost this big snowball effect. And so they start buying. And then, though, if you look at 6 months delay on the housing market, so then I should sell my house now, actually, and rent for like a year or something. And then you get some good deals in about 6 months' time with housing. I think housing, you know, it'll stagnate. There'll be lack of buyers because interest rates have gone up. The people have overstretched themselves. There's lots of people who've overstretched on mortgages because money was cheap, and now all of a sudden their business maybe is not doing as well because it's a little bit of recession. They'll have distressed sellers will come into the market, and that's what Warren Buffett does all the time in the stock market. Just wait, let the stock market sell off like crazy. He starts buying like crazy, and he waits for a couple of years, and then he starts flipping it, and that's it. So same with so hold stocks now. Next year they'll rally very strongly. The market then would be at low pretty much 6 to 12 months' time. Buy a nice house, and then all of a sudden you'd probably get 5-10% easy on your house.
Do you actually think house prices will go down, though?
They may not go down, but they'll stagnate and people will reduce their house prices from an overinflated value, you know?
At the moment, if you're buying a house, you literally can't put an offer of the price that you've...
No, because we're in a bubble now. We're right to the top of the market right now, housing market. But if you look now, I'm starting to get more reduced prices come online. In fact, I urge you now to sign up to Zoopla, Rightmove, and On The Market. On The Market, actually, fair play to the guys. They get almost 24 hours ahead of the other ones. But you will see now, and in fact, sometimes they will not say, not On The Market, but Rightmove will not say it's reduced price. They'll say, new property. And it's not new property. Mm. I saw that last week, but it's now 100 grand cheaper. So it's like, so it's happening now. We are the trough. The froth is, how do you say, is it frothy or frothy? Frothy. Is it an
froth,
F?
Or? Froth. Froth. It's an F and an R and an O and a T and an H. It's all there.
So we are at the frothy top of the market with housing, I think. And it'll bubble away, then the bubbles will pop.
I hadn't realised how much Rightmove has been hammered since the start of the year, and certainly this week, obviously. I guess that's from the interest rate.
Do you know, and that's a very good indicator. See, Pete, right there, right? The housing, that there is the perfect analogy, right? Look at the share price of Rightmove. It's tanked. Yeah. Has house prices tanked? No. So what does that say to you? The stock market is ahead of the housing market, of the real economy.
Indicator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So so right now, don't believe we're in for another 12 months, bear market here. We're not. And in fact, I'll bring up a little thing here. Here you go. Some people are saying... Now, when you read this, you'll think, hang on a sec. So, 19 bear markets in the past 140 years, okay? Average price decline, 37.3%. Now, the NASDAQ is down 25%. S&P is down about 25%. So, another 10%, so the worst has happened. Another 10% to go, pretty much. Average duration, 289 days. Past performance, no guided future performance. But if where today's bear market ends, if you look at that, using that analogy... ends in October. So, with the S&P at 3,000, NASDAQ at 10,000, good news is many stocks are already there.
That's funny to say that, but you're comparing it to previous years where we've just had recessions. Like, we have gone through probably unprecedented times with everything, recent.
If they're averaging, right, 19 bear markets, okay? I mean, you're talking about bear markets here where, for example, the Great Financial Crash, where the banks, the very oil that kept the engine going of the global economy were going through, right? And the Great Financial, the Great Depression of 1923 or 1929, I mean, the 20s. So we're averaging even the worst bear markets. So on average, 289 days. And so they're saying October is the time. Now, microcaps have been down before, way before that. So I'm thinking we are due, honestly, ignore go away in Maine. The fact that we are so bearish says to me, we are due a rally. And do you know what? It'll come out of nowhere and people think, what the heck is going on? I've just sold. It comes out of nowhere, these kind of rallies. And bear market rallies, by the way, before they hit the bomb, are very strong. So you may have a couple of false breakouts and a couple of false rallies, but we're not far off. And we need this capitulation. We need this scariness and people selling because their portfolio value has gone down. Why? Are you only the business? For example, let's give you a real world example. Right. I use XP Factory a lot of times. It's now like 40 million. You know, it's going to be doing. Where is it? Did it fall today? Yes, it did. So now at 40 million market cap, It's 1.5 times sales. It's going to be doing close to that hereafter next, you know, close to that in revenue and chucking off a lot of cash. Now, if you look at 3-5 years on the line, because that's what you're investing for, is in business down the line. So what are you worried about? It's going to be like 150 million market cap. So it's going to be, it's still going to be more than three times where it is right now. So why are you selling on a dip? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's just all the selling is based on emotions, herd mentality. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Although I did, as I said last week, I did buy a bit of extra into XPF Patry. I wish I had waited till this week, but there we go.
But you know what, Steve? This is a guaranteed way to make money, okay? And almost, it's, you know, you shouldn't be doing this, but if you do the research on a company and you like it, right? And you can only invest in one company. If you average in over, like, you know, and literally what I'm saying is you put regular amounts in on a monthly basis over like a year period, or even 18 months period, or even a 2 or 3 year period, you will not lose money. Your average will be perfect. Because do you know what? The you will go through the cycle of downturn up to, as long as you originally, as long as you're not buying it on a ridiculous valuation, of course. If you're buying someone like Nikola, have you seen that car company, Nikola? In America, it's like a truck company. In fact, Nikola Tesla. So Nikola, have a look at it's valued at $2.7 billion. Right? They've shipped 11 vehicles. That's it. And you think what? And it's valued at two. Now, if you're buying stuff like that, then you're going to go. But if you do, you know, basic valuations on like sales or EBITDA, and it's like not crazy. You don't want to sort of, you know, 5 times EBITDA or 2 times sales, whatever that. As long as the valuation is fine, it's a growing company. You know, if you're averaging in over a long period of time, you'll make money. But do you know what? It's amazing how hard it is to do that when the stock markets are tanking. I know lots of people who started saying, I'm going to average into this over a long period of time. The stock markets start tanking and they stop averaging in. That's the best time to average in. That's the whole point of it. You are, by basically paying a regular amount over several months, you are, you know, regardless of the stock market, you are removing emotion by buying automatically by averaging in. You know, so if you literally put, you know, it's £100 a month in a growing stock that's got, you know, good fundamentals, good valuation over 3 years, you'll make good money. That's all you have to do is average in. But you know what? The emotion of the market makes us do the very opposite. So what I'm saying is, act dead, have a little bit of zen, stand back, observe the market, say, that's very interesting, what's happening?
I've owned a stock for 3 years. That's ever. Mm.
You haven't, you? You've had Clarion and...
I've had Clarion in the 3 years.
You have, Steve. Probably. You're older than you know. Yeah. Do you know what? In fact, I was talking to Monty just now, and what you said to me, I said something about... He said, how long are you going to Steve for? And I said... I said, well, probably over 20 years, Mont. Even that shocked me. And then I thought about it, Steve. Mm. And I joined Red Dragon at age 26. I'm 52 now.
I was 19 and you were 29.
Yeah. So 29, over 20 years.
I first bought Polarian in July 2019, so almost 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe it was then. Didn't feel like it, does it?
Mm. But you imagine if you average... In fact, I think with funds especially, if you literally put an average amount... Right now, Megan was panicking. I said, Megan, that's buy more funds for the kids. You know, I may take the money out of the... I said, are you kidding me? Are you selling the bottom? So they're saying on the news, the Bank of England governor, you know, was saying it's going to be the worst recession. I said, the market sold off like crazy. The market's way ahead of the Bank of England guy and the Fed guy. They are dickheads and imbeciles. They're way behind the curve. The market is the most efficient thing ever. It's way ahead. Way ahead. It's sold 6 months ahead of them, you know, so... It's amazing, isn't it? And I get caught into it as well, I think, of course. Sounding so bearish at the moment. But they realise, hang on, look at the market. The market knows this.
Yeah.
It's taking this into account. It's been selling off for the last 8 months, at least. So, just chill, guys. Just sit and observe. Pretend it's not your money. Pretend you're a fund manager and it's not your money. That's why fund managers never sell at the bottom. That's why institutions tend to do better than private investors, because it's not their money, so they're not emotionally connected. It just holds and dips. Not a big deal for them, you know. They probably buy more.
Yeah. There's probably something to be said for doing a bit of trading during this period, though, isn't there? Just a bit of fun with it.
Yeah, you can have a bit of fun. If you've got some long-term holds, you know, do anything you need to do to take your mind off selling your... The companies that you know will do, you know, will be multiples of the current value it's at. Don't sell them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you need to do a bit of trading on the side or in Bitcoin or whatever, I'm glad Bitcoin is a safe hedge. See that? Everyone said Bitcoin is uncorrelated to the stock market. It's the safest hedge you can have. Yeah, it's fallen by a lot more than any other indices at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's Bitcoin at the moment?
Jeez.
It's gone down to 30. I think it's just below 40, isn't it? Let me just check it out. Bitcoin, bring up my crypto.
$35,800.
Wow, yeah, $35,000. So it was at, of course, $67,000 in November. So it's fallen by more than the NASDAQ, S&P and all that stuff. So you're thinking, why hold an odd scheme that we don't know has any financial validation to it whatsoever when you can hold a stock market and it's less volatile? And actually, it's based on businesses that generate cash and real, you know, you understand. So people start to say, oh, okay, Bitcoin isn't an inflation hedge, actually. It's worse than holding everything else. So, I think that's enough, really. What's Paddy texting? Why is Paddy obsessed with Paddy politics? Why is he obsessed with them?
You knew today was going to be a busy day with Pad on the old WhatsApp group.
Yeah,
I think at one point I looked at 49 missed messages in the space of half hour, and they're all about politics.
Just because of local election. See, I'm local. I always vote local because I live local, and I've always lived local. See, if you don't live local, right, what's the point? Live local.
Yeah.
I always remember that Paul Merton gag, actually. Is it, do you understand that 90% of car accidents happen within 2 miles of your house? So I moved.
Yeah.
But it's like that. Oh, we're local people here. We don't like, you know, we're local. If you can vote local, please.
Yeah.
But, what I hate about, I mean, Paddy thinks it's a narrative of the mainstream media or Daily Mail. But what I hate, right, is that, let's be honest, Keir Starmer, I didn't vote. And I tell you why, part of me, it wasn't because, lazy. But part of me, because Keir Starmer, the best quote, I tweet this, the best quote I saw, I think someone on Radio 5 said it, was Boris has done more for the Labour result than Keir Starmer. And that's very good, because it slags both of them off. And it's a very clever quote. And I think, yeah, Keir Starmer, he's so uncharismatic, he's so boring. And yet now, he's pretending a 10 p.m. beer and a curry was a work do. It's not. That's very much social do. I've never been, and I've been in several sort of, you know, media is not very formal, right? But I've never, ever considered a 10 p.m. beer and a curry as a work do, ever. Don't tell, I just want a politician. All I want is two qualities, okay? Interesting and honest. That's all. That's all I want.
It's interesting, this one, though, isn't it? Because he is literally, how many times has he said, if he now gets a fine from the police, because he's just been saying, you have to resign if you get a fine. So he literally can't not resign, could he?
Yeah,
he probably won't resign, though, yeah.
But
these elections, as you say, are local. I mean, we didn't have any elections here, so I haven't had anything to vote on. But
is that because you don't live local?
Exactly, it all live local. But yours are local council elections, whatever, but you haven't voted because of the national picture. But, like, you should have.
I know, based on that. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Okay, whatever.
I know, it's true, but I think the apathy. People say, people died for the right to vote. I agree with that. And part of me, I'll always be a little bit ashamed by not voting.
Yes, you know? But you should.
I thought, who would I vote for? And it comes down to all I don't know much about the local. I know a few, but I think I'm not going to vote for Boris and the Conservatives because, I mean, he does have this sort of And there's a lot to be said for people with big ideas. Understand, you have to have these bigger ideas, guys. I don't think you have to be liars as well, you know, to have those kind of big ideas. And Boris is a liar, full stop. And now, Keir Starmer is not a big ideas guy. And also, he's been a little bit dishonest. I mean, I don't want a small ideas guy who's dishonest. I'm afraid of a big ideas guy who lies. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's just, he doesn't inspire anything in me at all. And I'm not, they're not going to change him, I know, between now and then. I'm not going to vote for Boris. I'm not going to vote for Keir, because at the end of the day, people vote for people. I identify with people, you know. But I don't know. Keir Starmer doesn't inspire me at all, you know. Does he inspire you?
No, maybe badly. No, but not. Yeah, still better than Boris, though.
Exactly.
I tell you what, I'd vote for Angela if she flashed her legs again.
Right. Okay.
That was a joke there. It's a bit of satire. That was. Yeah.
That was all. Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It wasn't a misogynistic slur. No, okay, right, got it.
I think even, do you know what? If Keir wore a dress, a skirt in Parliament, so I crossed his legs, then maybe I thought, ooh, this is quite inspiring. But as yet, he's a boring grey man that doesn't inspire anything in me whatsoever. Maybe that's politics, I suppose. Boring.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything, boys, on any kind of media there? When I walk the dog, I love listening to podcasts. I love them.
Right.
I'm literally desperately scrabbling around for good content. Are you listening to anything, watching anything you like?
Where's my hit single, the podcast?
Wow.
Are you serious, Steve?
Yeah, no, deadly serious. Check it out. Where's my hit single, the podcast?
What is that?
It's about the music industry and... it's pretty much about that and how to make a hit single, but it goes into more detail. It's interesting.
Oh, I like that. I tell you what, again, I big up Stephen Bartlett because I think he's revitalised Dragon's Den. I really like the guy. But I think they should have another... I think they should get rid of Tuco on Dragon's Den and get another younger... Stop, Steve. You drink like a camel.
It's one of my highlights.
One of my USPs.
That's on his Tinder profile.
Yeah.
I drink like a camel.
Unlike a donkey, drink like a camel.
Yeah. So I listened back to Jimmy Carr. Worth listening to that. Because Jimmy Carr is a very clever guy.
On Stephen Bartlett's podcast.
Yeah. You have to go back to November, I think, in November. But, and even Stephen Bartlett says, I don't know what I was expecting when they booked Jimmy Carr, but it's nothing like I got. And I totally believe he's a genius because he's quite deep on there and he's very obviously a deep thinker, very philosophical. It doesn't surprise me really because to be at the top of your game in any industry, those skills are transferable. When you want to be a winner in any industry, you know, you basically, as Jimmy Carr says, you find the code. If you are an adept human, you find the code. In any field, you can do it. You know, and so listen to his podcast. It's very clever. And he basically got kicked out of school at 16, then ended up going to Oxford University or Cambridge, one of the two. But, very sharp, very clever, and so well-read. Phenomenal, you know? Not just the gag guy. Doesn't do any gags. But, in fact, there's one bit he taught. You know, who's the most famous clown? Back in the day, he was a clown that was very famous. Most famous. I love...
Christy.
No, it was Christine. Yeah, most Christine. Famous clown, it was Grimaldi. Was back one of the first clowns ever was Grimaldi. I think that was what he was talking about. And he said this guy went to the psychiatrist and said, "I'm really depressed. I'm so depressed. I'm hugely depressed." He said, "Well, what's wrong with you? Go and have a laugh. Go and see... you know, a comedy show." In fact, he said, "Grimaldi's in town. The clown Grimaldi. Go and see him. That'll lighten your spirits. You know, it'll give you a laugh." The guy said, "I am Grimaldi."
Wow.
And so it's very odd. It's a simple irony to say all comedians are depressives. He said, "I'm not particularly. My mother was, though. And I try to make her laugh and happy."
Yeah.
But, very good. Worth listening to. It gives you a whole different dimension on Jimmy Carr, you know?
So is it just called Jimmy Carr? Or?
It's so Stephen Bartlett.
Oh, sorry, Stephen Bartlett, yeah.
Yeah, Diary of a CEO. And then I think you have to scroll back to, like, last year. It's probably November, I think, last year.
Yeah. I've listened to a few of them. They are good, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It also depends. Stephen's always, you know, standard, good standard. But it depends on the guest, you know. Eddie Hearn was very good, very honest, you know. But some of them are just a bit boring. Mm. I found... disappointing. What's the English rugby player who was like phenomenal? I found him a bit dry.
Johnny Wilkinson.
Yeah, Johnny was a bit dry. But surprisingly, didn't want him to be, you know, and sometimes you get disappointed in you. That's a bit boring. But I listened to Mary Portis, quite good as well. But worth listening to. And Jake Humphries. I didn't even recognise. You know Jake Humphries? Do you know who Jake Humphries is?
Yes.
But I didn't even recognise his voice. I thought, this can't be the Jake Humphries. He's like, really raspy voice on. Isn't it funny how podcasts and when you see them on audio, you can hear people's voices a lot clearer. It's like Simon. Have you ever heard of Simon Cowell on a podcast? He sounds so camp, unbelievable.
It is like, generally, does
it? Yeah, but in real life, he does seem a camp. But when you listen to him on radio, he sounds really camp. Anyway, in fact, should we finish on an anecdote about Simon Cowell coming into Capital Radio? This is quite funny. This is the kind of guy he was, but apparently he's quite a nice guy. But I always remember this. He came into Capital Radio for an interview, and there's the on-air studio, and facing it with a little corridor in between was the office studio, production studio. But we used to take guests in there sometimes, sitting there before they came in on air. And this was a time when, of course, smoking was banned in buildings. And Simon Cowell just sat in there with a couple, he just sparked up. This is in Capital Radio, he's smoking a cigarette. He said, you can't do that. You can't smoke in it. That was like, and it wasn't long after the ban had come into place and it kicked in. It was like one of the worst crimes you could commit, smoking in a building. Even now, isn't it? You wouldn't ever consider smoking in a building. And Gareth, who was then the executive producer, said to Richard, Rich Steele, who was on our WhatsApp group, was very quiet, who was then sort of a junior sort of producer, he's on to the phones and stuff, who's now a big guy in Heart, Global. Gareth said, Rich, Simon Cowell's smoking next door. Can you go and tell him, please, not to smoke? So obviously, Gareth didn't want to do it. So he looked at Gareth and said, double take. Okay, because you are the junior guy of the team. You can tell Simon Cowell was the height of his career this time, you know. Everywhere, he was on American Idol, X Factor over here. And so Rich went in and said, Simon, yeah? It's a non-smoking building? You can't smoke in the building? And Simon looked at him, nodded, and went, yeah, whatever. Just carry on smoking.
Yeah.
And then that kind of arrogance. That's phenomenal, isn't it? Where everyone says...
Arrogance or just rudeness.
Right? I was going to say, that's just,
But he wasn't, wasn't rude to Rich. He wasn't rude personally to people. Generally, Simon Cowell wasn't that rude to people, personally. But he just didn't give a toss about rules. And in fact, we had an argument with Paddy, the maverick people like Elon Musk, they don't care about rules.
I probably wouldn't have done it, but that's where you turn around, you go, I've got really bad asthma and it affects my breathing if you smoke around me. To make you feel guilty.
Basically, doesn't apply to me. I'm God, you know. But I'm polite to people, but just that doesn't apply to me, you know. Anyway, anything else, boys, on TV, radio, film, anything? No?
No, nothing really.
Okay. Just reserve the markets. They will rally. It's fine. Don't panic. You've not lost any money if you haven't sold. It's fine. Stocks you're in are just all good.
Another 12 months of depression on it.
Don't have depression, Steve. Think.
No.
Think the valuations are going down. This is good.
Yeah. We're all in the same boat.
Yeah.
It's not sinking either. Oh. It's basically,
But yeah, I've got a nicer boat. But
sometimes the boat has to go against the waves. That's all.
Yeah. We're all in the same boat-ish, but
Yeah. Don't jump out of the boat. That's the whole thing. You know, some people are jumping out of the boat in stormy seas. Don't do that. It's not wise. The boat is more safe than you in the seas. Fine.
We're all in the same boat, but on slightly different decks.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
Yeah.
Marvelous. Cheers, guys. Go. Speak to you next week.
Bye.
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 The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.